The FBI gave me an exclusive interview. They have what's called an IGG hub in Baltimore. And then there was a volunteer genealogist with the Prince George's County Police. Her name was Tina. She doesn't want her last name used. But those three digging through records, obituaries, and looking at anything that they can find online and ancestry databases to find out who this guy was. They had the DNA from the crime scene, but they could never connect it to a suspect. But there were a couple of key moments in this. One was when a genealogist with the FBI noticed a name in an obituary that she had never seen before, and that was a key moment. Another key moment was when a cousin of the killer uploaded their DNA to GEDmatch database, and that gave them a huge leap to where this guy was. But 5 years, can you imagine taking all that time sitting there looking for this guy through all sorts of records?
Police didn't give a ton of info on Watts at the press conference that was held in November, but you have spent the past few months digging into his history. What have you found?
So he was first born in 1950 in Baltimore as Edward Watts. He later changed his name to Barry Shabazz. What I found out about him was really quite incredible. He either called himself or was known as the Terror of East Baltimore and was first convicted at 15 years old. He had a long criminal record, according to police, but he also considered himself a poet and would go around Baltimore to poetry readings. And so I found in the Baltimore Sun not one, but three articles that were written about this guy. I mean, think about that. And that's how I learned a lot more about this guy. His family would not speak with me, but there was quite a bit that I discovered about this guy, and that's all included in the second and the last episode of this series.
Now, you did speak exclusively with Sherry Crandall's three children. They did give a statement at the news conference, but you got the chance to sit down with them to discuss what solving this has meant. Can you tell us more about what they had to say?
Sure. I originally interviewed Darren, Tiffany, and Luke for the original podcast back in 2020, and I've re-interviewed them. And they're extremely appreciative of all the work that went into this. The original detective, Bernie Nelson, would not give up on this case. And it was he who decided in 2020 to use genetic genealogy to try and find this man. And so they are very, very appreciative of this, even though this man died in 2019, so there's no justice in court. But they can't thank Bernie Nelson, the detectives who worked on this, an entire team, as well as the genealogists. And think about it, it's the unknowing that drives you crazy. And now they know who this guy was.
Today is also the anniversary of Sherry's death, January 13th, 1998. Believe it or not, we did not plan that the new podcast episodes would come out today. It just happened to be on the calendar that way, but it's also very fitting. And you've been covering this case for decades. What has it meant for you to tell this story in this format and for it finally to be solved?
I got to know this case back in 2004 when I profiled it when I was working at Fox 5 here in town. And it stuck with me. This case just stuck with me. This woman was murdered in her office in a hospital, murder in a safe place. I mean, it was just incredible. And I learned that the podcast, it helped, is what I learned. According to the FBI, they said they were energized by the podcast. And when they would hit a brick wall and just seemingly had no place to turn, they would think about Sherry's three children after listening to the podcast. And so they were determined to solve the case.
Paul, you said that genealogy, of course, played a big role. It's obvious to everyone how that would work. How did this obituary fit in? What was the significance of that?
Sure. So it was an FBI genealogist. Her name is Stephanie Mellinger. You'll hear her in the podcast. She reads obituaries. She reads thousands of them. It's part of her job. And she was reading an obituary from this family tree that they were investigating. And she looks at the survivors and she sees this name she'd never seen before, Barry Shabazz. And she's like, who is this guy? And so she starts looking into him and she sees not only did he live near the hospital when the murder took place, but he had a long criminal record. And so red flags, as she said, went off. And that's when she said they really started looking into this guy. And then they needed a final DNA sample to confirm that it was him, which is another major part of this story. And you'll hear about that in the podcast.